Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you during this period of transition after Kent's retirement, while Linda McCoy is your interim senior pastor, and as we anticipate the arrival of Reverend Rob Fuquay this fall to be your new senior pastor. I thought maybe before my message I should say a little bit about how such appointments are made, since not even all of us United Methodists are always aware of that process, especially at a church like St. Luke's where you don't do it very often. Actually, I've been working with your leadership transition team for over 2 years because we knew that Kent's retirement would be coming. We thought maybe it'd be in 012 or 013. And so your church governing board and Pastor Parrish named a leadership transition team to work with me and the cabinet, which is my district superintendents, to plan ahead. And we had a great team. Sarah Cobb was the chair and other great members on the team. And we'd already been working, thinking about that transition. We had all kinds of ideas about succession planning and all that. We've been looking at the strengths of the church, at the job profiles. And then this last fall, Kent decided and announced to you in January that he really needed to retire this year, partly due to Minnietta's health, partly because he turned 70. And so we had to hurry up a little bit. Our process is that even though the bishop ultimately must appoint pastors, we work with you on that. And it was a joy to work with your team. We began assembling a long list of names that were suggested by a variety of sources. And we began to vet those names and do most of that online without interrupting their ministries, looking at a lot of videos of sermons and learning about people, as you can do these days through the internet and other means. Began to slowly cull down that list. It was a great list. It had people from Indiana and beyond Indiana, had men and women and persons of color. It was a great list. But of course, timing's not always right for everybody, and not everybody is willing to move from one part of a country to another. So we began to cull down the list to our favorite choices, and as we got down to the last few, then it was my job for any of those outside of Indiana to call their bishop and ask for permission. And those are interesting phone calls, as you might guess. And when it got to the phone call to the bishop in North Carolina about Rob, I called my good friend, Bishop Larry, there, and said to him, "We're kind of interested in talking to Rob." And there's this long pause on the phone, and he said, "Oh, I was hoping nobody would find him." Which was a pretty good recommendation of itself. Well, eventually we brought Rob here. He met with me in the cabinet. We were very impressed. He met with many of you in various committees in the life of the church. And then he asked for time to go home and pray about it because this was a hard decision, particularly for his daughters who are in high school. He was getting ready to leave the country, so that wound up being really about a two-week wait to let him pray that through. Meanwhile, while he was gone, your committee, with permission, did a very smart thing. They brought the daughters here and let them get to know Indianapolis, and I got a text on my phone with a picture from one of you on the committee showing the girls being driven around in the Indianapolis 500 pace car. So I thought, I think this is going to work. And sure enough, by the time Rob got home from out of the country, his family was ready to make that decision with him, and he said yes. And so ultimately then, we make that appointment. It's called fixing the appointment, naming it. And Rob will be coming this fall. And I want to echo what I heard Kent Millard say 2 weeks ago. I was here for one of the services, and what I heard Carver McGriff say last week, because both have spent time with Rob, and both said what I would say to you. He's a great choice. And of course, there's lots of transitions and lots of things to work through, but he's a great choice. And I really think you're going to be blessed, and he's going to be blessed by serving you. But in the meantime, we're in this transition time, this in-between time, this thing that I like to call the neutral zone between what has been and what will be. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So let's pray together. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you. For you're the one, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I hate road construction. Don't you? You know, as you heard Marcia say, I travel all over Indiana trying to supervise our 1,187 churches. I travel to denominational meetings where I often drive. And usually I have my schedule planned out on kind of a tight schedule. I've looked it up on Garmin and Google Maps, and I have my little navigator, and I know about how long it ought to take to get there. And I'm going along right around the speed limit, usually. Some of you understand that. And things are fine. I think I'm on schedule. And then I see one of those dumb orange signs, road construction ahead. I just hate that feeling because I know someone's going to mess up my plans. Someone's going to change my schedule. Some external decision I wasn't a part of is going to mess up my life for a little while. Now, I really do try to have a better attitude about that. I try to remember what my mother used to say. My mom died a year ago. In fact, the anniversary is this week, and I'm finding it's a really tender time. But one of the wonderful things I learned from my mother was her attitude about that. Whenever we would get into road construction, you know what my mother would say? She would say, "Oh, but it'll be so nice when it's finished." And we'd all go, "Mom." I remember one time I was a kid, we were traveling to Florida over spring break. We were driving down, had the car packed, all of us in the car. We're zooming along I-75. We get down to southern Kentucky, right before the Tennessee border, road construction, and we sat on that stupid highway for 2 hours, not moving. We kids in the back were whining, saying, "When are we going to get there?" My dad was grousing, and my mother kept saying, "Now we need to remember, it'll be so nice when it's finished." I try to have that attitude, but it doesn't always work, does it? Well, the Bible actually talks a lot about road construction, or journeys through the wilderness, or transition times. Of course, the big one in the Old Testament is the Exodus. Moses leading the people of God from slavery in Egypt all the way through the wilderness experiences to the Holy Land, the Promised Land. Here in Deuteronomy 8, we hear the reminder just as they're getting ready to finally arrive, and it says, "Remember the long way the Lord your God has led you through these 40 years in the wilderness." Why? In order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, and then by feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted with. In order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It wasn't just a wandering time, it was a transition time. It was a learning time. The people whined and they complained like a bunch of young kids in the back seat of the car, but God used that time to teach the people. First of all, to help them unlearn being slaves. You ever thought about that? A whole generation of folks who'd been slaves in Egypt had to unlearn being slaves in order to learn how to be the people of God and to follow God with freedom, but also with joy and obedience. God used that time of transition to help them learn about that long road, but I'm sure it's sometimes, and we know from the scriptures, it seemed like a long journey. But not just a time of being wandering, a time of being transitioned and transformed. Likewise, in the New Testament, we read many times of those travels. One is Jesus himself. It says in Mark 1, right after the baptism of Jesus, it says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And he heard a voice saying, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" That sounds great. But then the next verse, "And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness." Even for Jesus, it was a time of transition, a time of really beginning to understand, to be tempted by Satan, but also to learn about his own call in his life. Could he be obedient? Could he live faithfully as that beloved Son, even if it meant going all the way to the cross? Wilderness, transitions, neutral zones. Such wilderness times, they come along. Such road construction times, if you will, they come along. And yet those are times when God is most able to get through to us. They're teachable moments. They're times in our lives when we're more open to being shaped by God's Spirit. Such times are not easy. They can seem like an interruption of our plans. I have to tell you, it wasn't in my plans to spend all this wonderful time with your transition team this year. I thought we had a couple more years before we would do that. But even when these interruptions come as interruptions, such times, even when they're a hard journey, can last a long time, can be a way of being transformed, transitioned, working into the future. But sometimes, I have to admit, it just seems like a long journey, as this cartoon will show you. It may be a little hard to read, so let me read what it says to you. It says, after 39 and a half years, Mrs. Moses secretly asked for directions. How many of you women understand that cartoon all too well? And how many of you men don't think it's funny at all? I'm one of those. But sometimes it feels like that when we're in a transition. Transitions come all the time. The new job, getting married, getting divorced, dealing with illness, dealing with the illness of a loved one, having a baby, having that first child go off to school, having the last child go off to school, losing a loved one to death. Such transitions, such changes happen in our life all the time, and we can whine about them, or we can allow God to use those times to teach us and to lead us. One of the books I found helpful about transitions is one called Managing Transitions by William Bridges. Bridges has written a book really for businesses in transition, but he uses as his central metaphor Moses and the Israelites going through the wilderness to the promised land. And Bridges makes this wonderful insight. It isn't the changes that do you in, he says, it's the transitions. Change is not the same as transition. Change is situational, the new site, the new boss, the new team, the new policy, getting a new pastor. But transition is the psychological process. I would add it's the spiritual process that people go through to come to terms with the new situation. Change is external, he says, but transition is internal. And he calls that transition time, he calls it the neutral zone. And he says during that neutral zone between what has been and what will be is when we can be led to re-examine ourselves and rediscover the purpose of our journey. And that neutral zone allows us to make the transitions internally we need to make in order to deal with those external changes we're facing. I really like that distinction. Change is not the same as transition. Change is just the situation we're going through. But transition is how we adapt to it. Change is external, he says. Transition is internal. I think he's right. Those Israelites didn't just cross the wilderness to get to the promised land. They had to learn to allow God how to guide and direct their lives and transform them, transition them into a new people. Jesus didn't just go into the wilderness to endure temptation. He had to open his life up to the transitions God was offering through him to the whole world. Change is external. It's what others may do to us. But transition is how I deal with it and how you deal with it. Bridges goes on to say then that neutral zone time can be very productive if we use it in these three ways he names that I'll mention quickly. One, he says that we need to start with what's ending with the loss and be real about that. And he makes this wonderful statement, people don't fear change, what they fear is loss. So part of what we need to do in looking at the changes we're facing is to say, now what are we losing and what are we not losing? And the losses are real. Losing Kent Millard as senior pastor of this church, that's a change and it's a loss. But it doesn't mean we've lost everything. St. Luke's is still St. Luke's. The wonderful ministries of this church are still wonderful ministries, and they'll probably grow and expand. The wonderful staff you have will keep on doing a wonderful job of carrying on and working with Rob when he comes. We haven't lost everything. So it's appropriate to deal with what's ending, but to be honest about it and say, well, I haven't lost it all, but I am going to grieve for what I am losing because that will help me to move on. Secondly, he says we need to use the neutral zone time to creatively reflect on our purpose. And that's what I sense your staff is trying to help you do right now. they're really focusing this summer on. What is the purpose of St. Luke's Church? It's on the front of our bulletins every week. It's now out in the entryway on the signs out there. But what does that purpose really mean? Who are we as a church? It's a great time to re-examine all that, to take a look at it and say, are we still St. Luke's Church without Kent? Well, of course we are. But what does that mean? What is our purpose? Where are we going? Where are we headed in life? This neutral zone time, he says, is a wonderful time to take a look at our purpose as an individual and as a church. And then he says, when we launch something new, we must do it around that purpose. We must begin to evolve the picture of what the future will be, and that's not clear yet. And it won't be clear when Rob walks in the door. He'll need to get to know you. He'll need to work with you, hear your dreams, and together you'll form a new picture of a new future, and then to plan, and then my part to play in that plan. Now, maybe once Rob's here and you have a new picture and a new plan, maybe my part won't be that different than it is now. If I sing in the choir, I'll sing in the choir then. But maybe I'll find some new parts to play in helping to bring about this new future that God intends. I guess what I'm saying is, and I think Bridges is saying, is that we're in the construction zone. We're in the transition time. We're in the neutral zone between what has been and what will be. That's true for St. Luke's, and it's true for each of us. Maybe we ought to put up orange signs outside the church, you know, that say construction zone. St. Luke's under construction. That's the time period we're in. Because we're not just saying goodbye to Kent and Minnietta. We're not just saying hello to Rob and Susan and their daughters. We are in the construction zone, the neutral zone, the transition time, when we are invited to open our lives to God in a new way, to open our spirits in a new way, to the next new thing that God has for each of us. Maybe we need to wear a big lapel button like a guy I saw a couple years ago at one of the churches where I was preaching. He came up with this big lapel button on it that said PBPWMGINFWMY. And of course he wanted me to ask, what does that mean? And he said it means, please be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. Well, I don't want to wear that big a badge, but it's true. I need your patience because God's not finished with me yet. We need each other's patience because God's not finished with any of us yet. St. Luke's Church right now needs to be patient with each other because God's not finished with you yet. And what will be next, we don't yet see it fully. But it's a time of transition, a time of focus. It's a time of discovery. It's a time of patience. God's not finished with us yet. The good news, though, is God will lead us through that time. Let me share with you, if you don't mind, one more road construction story. When I served as bishop out in the Dakotas Conference for 8 years, I learned what road construction can really be out there. Because in the Dakotas, we didn't have many roads, so when they repaired roads, they never closed them. They just had you drive through the mess. So they had a road construction sign in the Dakotas. I didn't bring you a picture of it because it's too weird. They had a road construction out there that I'd never seen before, but I began to see a lot of them. It would be a big orange sign, road construction ahead, and then the next sign would say, pavement ends 500 feet. And they weren't kidding. The pavement was gone. There was nothing left but the roadbed. And all these trailers and trucks and road graders working on it, and you had this part of the road. The road was just gone. It was still open, they said. You still had to drive through it because there's no other road to go around. The pavement just ended. But about the time you got to that point and you thought, what do I do next? A little truck would normally appear with a big orange sign in the back that said, pilot car, follow me. And there'd be some highway worker in an old pickup truck or old car and would wait till we had a nice long line of cars, which in the Dakotas meant 3 or 4 cars. And then the pilot car would lead us through all that mess till we finally got to the other side back on pavement again. Well, if this isn't too crass, I think that's what the Spirit of God does for us during transition time. I mean, you're driving along the highway and you think life's going pretty well. Things are pretty smooth. It's okay. And then there's something that happens that means the pavement ends. Maybe you get the notice your job has been terminated. Maybe you get the bad report from the doctor. or a loved one gets one of those reports. Maybe you hear your pastor's retiring out of the blue, it seems. Suddenly, life that had been smooth sailing and everything seems to be good, suddenly the road drops out from under us, and we can wonder, what am I going to do through this road construction time? It's at those moments, as Moses and the Israelites found, as Jesus himself found, it's at those moments that the Spirit of God comes to say, follow me, I know the way through. And then we get to the other side and we discover what my mother said. It's so nice when it's finished. I don't know what that'll look like for us, but the good news, the really good news, is the Spirit of God wants to lead us and guide us through this neutral zone, this construction zone, this transition zone. The Spirit of God wants to lead us through so that we'll be able to say with my mother, it's so nice now that it's finished. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you once again for Kent and Minnieta, and we pray your blessing upon them as they're certainly going through a road construction time in their lives. We ask you to bless them. And we pray for Rob and Susan and their family as they're saying goodbye to a congregation that loves them and they're starting to pack up and get ready to move. We all know what that's like. It's not easy, so bless them. And we pray for St. Luke's Church today as we too go through a transition time. May you bless us and guide us and teach us and help us to learn and to grow so that we will come out on the other side and we'll be able to say, oh my goodness, it's so nice now that it's all finished. We pray that in the name of Christ. Amen.